Good evening. Our opening song this evening will be number 171. Would you please stand as we sing? As possible, would you kneel with me? Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you the end of this day and as we begin this service, we indeed thank you for this day we've had of worship and contemplation of thy scriptures and of the way and the life. And we pray, Father, that you would bless us at this time, for we truly invite thy spirit to be with us. We pray knowing that our brother has prepared. And we pray knowing that thou wilt use him as an instrument in thy hand. And I pray that you would indeed open his mouth and his heart and his mind that we may understand the words and the message that thou would have for us. I pray for each one of us that we would be able to understand and apply these things in our life. I pray for those who are not present with us this night for whatever reason. I pray for our brethren who are in the missionary field that you would deal kindly with them and go before them and strengthen them. And help them that they may have an understanding of thy directing spirit. Now we do pray you would continue with us in this hour. In these things we pray and give thanks in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that special. That was very nice. At this time, I'll introduce our speaker, who needs no introduction, our brother Brian McIndoo, and I'd ask that you might give him your careful and your prayerful attention. I'm sure he's taken the time and the prayer and the effort that it takes to prepare a message for us this evening. Brian?
Thank you, Andy. Thank you for that lovely song. It was very beautiful and pertinent to the sermon that I have today, because the peace of God in our hearts to help us through our life is certainly important and necessary for us to deal in this world and to make our proper decisions. Making decisions about what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, when we're going to do it, should always be a big concern for us, and any decision we make should be a decision that is proper and appropriate according to the will of God. About 1,000 years before the time of Christ, there was a young man who had a great responsibility and a great burden placed upon him. And this burden and responsibility was that he had to make decisions, just as we do, but his decisions were a little different. They concerned others rather than himself. They affected others' lives, and they required him to have a degree of judgment and place his judgment upon other people. It's hard enough for us to make decisions concerning our own lives and hope that they are right and they work out. And if they don't, we're the ones that bear the brunt of the wrong decision. But when your decisions concern other people and your decisions will affect other people, it seems even more important. Well, this man, he trusted in God, even as he was taught by his father to trust in God. And he worshiped God. We can find in the readings about him that he worshiped God. And although, if you read about it, the story doesn't tell, but I believe he humbly approached God for direction about his dilemma of having to make decisions about other people, about his dilemma of passing judgment upon other people. We pick up the story in 1 Kings, 3rd chapter. I'm going to read verses 3 through 12. And I know that you'll know the names when I get to them. It says, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. And the king went into Gibeon to sacrifice there, and that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer up upon the altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.' And Solomon said, 'Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him his great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, whom thou hast chosen, a great people who cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Give, therefore, thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy great people?' And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, 'Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither thou hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked for life of thine enemies, but thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Of course, Solomon used his wisdom as a gift from God to judge the people. And even today we use the word Solomon or the wisdom of Solomon synonymous with wisdom. I mean, we all talk about wisdom, we think of Solomon because of this very story and his judgment that he the gift he had from God. If we say somebody is wise, we say he's as wise as Solomon. Wisdom is a tool that Solomon used, that the Lord gave him. A tool to pass correct judgments. There's many tools of the trade. You have a hammer, a carpenter will have a hammer and a square, a saw. Some tools of the trade nowadays are different. They have computers or pens or guns. There could be all kinds of different tools. But each person that goes out to do something is required to have a tool to do it. And so the tool that is required to make decisions, the proper tool for the proper job of making decisions, is that of wisdom. Wisdom is what is required. Wisdom, if you look at it, if you look it up, you know, a lot of times we think we know what something is until we really get into it and study it. Wisdom is the power of true and right discernment. That's what it means, true and right discernment. Understanding, having a knowledge, or a higher degree of learning of what is right. That is wisdom, is understanding what is right and having a higher degree of knowledge of it. But is that what made Solomon right and wise in the eyes of the Lord and the world today? No, that's only part of wisdom. Understanding what's right is only part of being wise. There is a twofold to wisdom. And you can't just have an understanding of what's right and consider yourself wise. The second half of it is conformity to the course of action dictated by such discernment. You have the understanding, but then again you have to surrender yourself to do what is right if you want to be wise. Not just understanding it, but carrying out the action according to that discernment. Like Solomon, we need to use our wisdom from God in our decisions during our difficult times and our troubles. That's the tool that we need to use when we have these things come up. We as humans will have these things come up. James says, makes a statement about these trials and difficulties. Let's take a look at James chapter 1. Verse 2, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye shall fall into various trials or divers temptations." Joy for temptations. Joy for various trials. Like Solomon, who was put in a situation where he was required to make decisions. And he wanted to make correct decisions. Those were trials for him. He says, count it joy. Because it allows us to worship God. It allows us to seek God's will for us. It allows for Him to bestow upon us discernment and wisdom to guide our lives, to direct our paths, to give us that peace. If we had no trials, if we had to make no decisions, if we didn't have to look to God for any help, then we wouldn't feel His presence there to guide us and direct us through our lives. And so he says, count it joy that you have these things. But some of us wonder, you know, do we have enough wisdom to make godly judgments? Is it there? Can we obtain it? Is it available to us to really ask God for wisdom and understand when He gave it to us? If this is a question with you, you need to consider what James goes on to say. Starting in verse 5 and verse 6. He says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and unbraideth not, and it shall be given. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed." If you think you lack wisdom in making godly decisions in your life, you need to ask. Just as Andy read this morning, he says, every good gift comes down from above. He told us that. Wisdom is a good gift. And if you ask for it, it's going to be given to you. But you have to do so faithfully, according to this verse. You have to believe that God will provide. Not waver. Receive that wisdom. And then don't talk yourself out of it. Don't justify not using it. Remember, part of wisdom is put into action what you discerned. And if you don't put into action, you do not have the wisdom. So instead of talking yourself out of it, you have to conform to God's will and do what you find is correct. What is right, what is appropriate, what God has directed you to do. You know, Proverbs says, there is a way which seemeth right unto man. Man is going to figure out. If man thinks and he uses reason, he's going to find a way that seems right to him. We'll all be able to discover a right path for us to take. But it says, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. Man's ways, man's wisdom without God is not correct. Man will inherently make decisions that go against the will of God because man is selfish. Man will look out for themselves most of the time and they will make decisions that are not correct for God because we are selfish animals. James says about those who waver between listening to God and listening to themselves in verse 7 and 8. He says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If you can't listen to the direction of God and follow it, don't think you're going to receive anything. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He's not going to give you wisdom. He's not going to give you anything else. Because if you're double-minded, you will be unstable in everything. And you will not receive those things of the Lord. I know some of you today have great trials in your life, have great problems, have heavy burdens, have difficult decisions to make. And there are a gamut of different ideas, different problems. I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you all the different problems. Some of you have decisions to make about physical problems. Some of you have decisions to make about marital problems or marital decisions or if you want to get married or who you want to marry. Some of you have decisions to make about your job. Some of you have decisions to make about your ministry. You have decisions of every sort to make in your life. And you have to contend with them. And I think every one of us will agree that the wisdom of Solomon would be the proper tool to use with dealing with these trials. That's the only way we can make our decisions properly, is to use wisdom. Making our decisions, it brings peace. Knowing God will tell us what to do, and that would bring us our peace, just as we heard in the song. You should not ever resolve your problems that you come up with, your decisions. You should never look at your answers to these things based upon reactions to anger, based upon your actions to discouragement, based upon confusion. If you make your decisions based upon your anger or your confusion, you will not receive wisdom. You pray for wisdom, it's going to come. If you have a problem, you have a difficulty, you have something that was within your life that you need to make a decision, and you actually pray for wisdom for it, the answer will come through the Holy Spirit. It's promised to us. Now, how is it going to be delivered to you? I'm not going to stand here and try to tell you that it's going to come a certain way, because it won't. It is going to come in various ways. Sometimes it's going to come through a preacher's sermon. and He will answer your question. He will tell you what you should do. Unbeknownst to Him, you'll be the only one that knows. Sometimes it's going to come through personal study. Sometimes it's going to come through revelation. But it's all going to be found in the Word of God. That's where wisdom will come. Every bit of it will come. You will find that it is written down in the gospel through the Word of God. I recall a time when I woke up on a Sunday morning. I had a great burden upon my heart concerning the sacrament service. I was stirred with indecision on what was right to do. And I thought and I pondered solutions. I thought of many different things that I could do. What would be right? What would not be right? And then I recalled the words of James. The words I read to you. If you lack wisdom, ask. And I lacked wisdom. And I did ask. And the answer came, and it came by Scriptures coming to my mind. It didn't come from anything else. It came from the Word of God. The Scriptures is what gave me the answer. Now, it seemed to me as if they were being read by another person, by Jesus Himself, because He was talking about the words that Jesus said, and He used the word I instead of as the Scriptures would be. And Jesus said, He said, and I said. But the Scriptures came to give me wisdom on what I should do. Concerning my burden, an answer was given. I found later that same day, another brother had the same burden. He had a great burden concerning the sacrament. The same day, same sacrament service. I found out later that he too, with this burden, was asking for wisdom because he didn't know what to do. And he wanted wisdom from God. And he wanted, according to his story, he wanted an unwavering knowledge. He wanted a perfect knowledge of what to do. Well, that's sometimes hard to get. Sometimes we want something that's an absolute. Quite often we like that, you know. Lord, tell me what to do, and don't make it so obvious that there's no way I can not understand it and know that it's perfect. And that's what he was asking for, absolute knowledge of God's will. And he too received direction. And it was unmistakable, audible words coming from another servant. Absolute direction. So the prayer for wisdom is answerable. It's there. It's there for us to receive. It says, let him ask God, who giveth to all men liberally. But you have to ask, and you have to be willing to accept what comes to you, regardless of the consequence, regardless if it's what you want to hear, regardless if it's what you like. Another thing that we have a tendency to do when it comes to wisdom is we have a tendency to look to somebody we think is wise. You know, I'll go to my father. He's a wise guy. He's been around here forever. You know? He survived for the last 300 years. He's got to be a wise, you know? We go to somebody. You know, this person always seems to have the right answer. We go to these people. We look to somebody that we trust. I don't want to trust my own wisdom. I don't want to ask God for wisdom because then I'll have to understand if it's God or something myself. I'll ask this person. And this person always has the right answer. So we rely upon them for our answer. But how do we know? How do we know if somebody else's wisdom is coming from God? And quite honestly, it's a twofold test. How do we know the wisdom we're using is coming from God? There's an answer to it. For us, or if it's from somebody else's wisdom, and we want to listen to them and want to understand if they're right. And it tells us in James, again, just a few verses, a few pages away from where we read before, James, the third chapter, verses 13 through 18, tells us all about wise men, wise women. It says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? That's a good question. That's where we want to know. How do we tell if this person is using wisdom? Let him show out of good life his works with meekness of wisdom. His life will reveal that he makes wise decisions. And that is your first step when you go to somebody else. You know, is his life normally full of wisdom? That's only the first step, though. His normal life. But it says, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strifes are, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. If the answer comes from yourself or from someone else and is given to you, and the decision of wisdom is based on emotion, if it does not promote peace but promotes strife and contentions, if it causes conflict with the truth of the Scriptures, then it's not from God. The wisdom comes from the devil. 3 Nephi 5:29 through 31 kind of goes along with that and says the same thing. It says, and there shall be no disputations among you as there has hitherto been. Neither shall there be any disputations among you concerning the points of my doctrine, as there hitherto been. For verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hath the spirit of contention is not of me, but is of the devil, who is the father of contention. And he stirreth up the hearts of men to contend anger one with another. Behold, this is not my doctrine to stir up the hearts of men with anger one against another, but this is my doctrine that such things should be done away. So if you look to wisdom from somebody, if you come to me and I'm fiercely angry at Chuck, and you say, you know, I have this little problem with Chuck. What should I do? I say, go punch him in the nose. That wisdom is not from God. I think we all understand that, but we've got to remember it. We've got to remember that the wisdom of God will always promote peace and joy and love between the body. It's never based on emotions. Sometimes when we have emotions, we need to look to somebody else for our wisdom. Because emotions are a hard thing to deal with. Wisdom is most important to us as Christians. The Scriptures tell us the rain will fall on the righteous, the just, and the unjust alike. We will be no strangers to problems in our life. We will be no strangers to problems within our local, in our church. We're always going to have difficult decisions to make in our life. It's going to be with our health, with our jobs, with our children, with each other. They're going to be difficult decisions. And I have them within my life. I have decisions to make with my job, with my family, all the time. And I need the wisdom of God to do those. So we need to ask for wisdom. But we also have to ask for this wisdom with humility. That's a key word we've heard lately, that we need humility within the body and within the ministry. Because we cannot receive wisdom without the humility. God's going to answer through His sermons, through study, through Scripture, through your leaders, through your pastor. There's where your answers are going to come. But unless we're a humble people and willing to surrender ourselves to the answers, willing to follow the directions of the Lord, conform to God's desires, that we are laying aside God's wisdom for our own. But we need to lay aside our own emotional-based ideas so that we won't be driven with the wind tossed to and fro in a world of ungodly people. God has promised that if we ask for wisdom, if we ask, it will be given. If we ask, what is the right direction to make? What is the right path to proceed? What is your desire? He will answer us. But once He does, it puts a heavy responsibility and burden upon us. Again in James, 4th chapter, verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If the Lord tells you their answer and the response to follow, and you choose your own paths, to him it is counted a sin. So let us look to God. Let us trust in the Lord. Let us pray for wisdom before we make our decisions of important issues of life. And almost every decision that we make is an important issue of life. And use the wisdom of God and humble ourselves as a people to follow that wisdom and direction, that we can be lifted up in the last days and receive that peace that He has offered us each. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Brian. Our closing song this evening will be number 215. Number 215. Would you please stand as we sing?
Thank you.
bow your heads with me in prayer? Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this time, we're indeed thankful for the words that our brother brought to us this evening. And I do pray, Father, that we might indeed seek after wisdom and might receive it of Thee, not only Thy ministry, but each of Thy children. I pray, Father, that we may have a love of Thy Son in our hearts and may be able to express that one towards another. Help us in these days not to be affected by the world, I do pray, that You might keep our thoughts and our very beings in Thy tender care. I pray for the needs of Thy children. I pray, Father, for those who have asked a special interest in our prayers, that You might deal kindly with them. I pray that You would go with us now as You dismiss us from here and keep us until we have opportunity to come again. And these things we do pray in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.